Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're tackling something pretty relevant for, well, almost anyone with an iPhone or iPad. iOS forensics.
Yeah, it's fascinating stuff.
Ever wondered how investigators actually manage to pull data from these devices? Whether you're deep into cybersecurity or maybe just curious, understanding this is pretty crucial.
That's our mission for this deep dive, really.
Yeah.
To sort of unpack the complexities. We've looked at insights from, you know, digital forensics company's blog, an academic paper digging into potential errors,
okay,
and another publication focused specifically on digital forensics. We're aiming to focus on the common hurdles, the walls you hit when trying to get info off these Apple devices.
So exploring Apple's digital Fort Knox, essentially.
Exactly. And how experts try to, well, peek inside.
All right, let's get right into it then. Apple's big on security. That's no secret. Sounds like that's the first major barrier for forensic folks.
Oh, absolutely. It's foundational. Apple built iOS with security woven right through it. We're talking device encryption on, by default, strong passcode protection, that secure boot chain you mentioned, making sure everything's legit on startup, apps kept separate in their sandboxes, and really clever ways of classifying and protecting data. The main thing isn't just one feature. It's how they all work together. It's deeply layered. Makes getting in without permission extremely tough.
And that default encryption, that sounds like a huge hurdle right away.
It is. A massive one. Because all the data is automatically scrambled, getting the raw info without the right key is, well, it's virtually impossible.
Right.
Think of it like every bit of data is in a secret code. Only the key can unscramble it. Without it, just noise.
Okay, so even if you somehow got the raw data, it's useless without the key, and then the passcode is another layer.
Precisely. The passcode is another significant barrier. It adds complexity, especially for locked devices. It's like needing a physical key just to get to the coded message, even before you try to decipher it.
So if you're maybe used to other systems like Android sometimes, where file access is a bit more open, iOS is totally different for forensics.
That's a really key difference.
Yeah.
Unlike Android, which can sometimes allow more direct file system peeking, iOS clamps down hard on that for third-party apps, and critically for forensic tools too. You can't just plug it in and browse folders like on a computer. The paths to the data are way more controlled.
And I bet that gets even trickier when apps themselves use their own encryption or weird data formats.
You got it. For apps with strong encryption or proprietary formats, that limited file system access makes extracting their data even harder. Forensic tools have to be pretty specialized, often working app by app.
Now, what about iCloud? So much stuff ends up there. What challenges does that create for forensics?
iCloud's interesting. Super convenient for users, right? Backups, syncing. But that data is encrypted both going to Apple servers and while it's sitting there.
Right, encrypted everywhere.
Yeah. So even if you could access an iCloud account, getting usable data means dealing with Apple's security and sticking strictly to legal and ethical rules. You can't just, you know, rummage around someone's cloud storage without proper authorization.
Makes sense. And the really sensitive stuff like passwords, keys, apps use, how's that locked down?
That's where something called data protection classes comes in. Think of them as different security levels for different data types on the phone.
Okay.
Your most sensitive info, like passwords, gets the POP level. iOS uses these classes to encrypt sensitive stuff right there on the device. And the keychain that secure vault for passwords, logins, all that critical stuff, it's encrypted even more heavily, tied directly to your passcode. Super hard to access without unlocking the device.
Okay, so it's one thing to physically have the phone, but actually reading the data inside is a whole different ballgame.
You've nailed it. In forensics, we talk about physical versus logical acquisition. Physical is like making a perfect bit-by-bit copy of the whole storage.
Like cloning a hard drive.
Exactly. But with modern iPhones, that's often impractical or just plain impossible. The hardware design and security measures just don't allow it easily.
So if you can't clone the drive, how do you usually get the data out?
That's where logical acquisition comes in. It uses software methods to pull data through the channels Apple does allow. Think backups, cloud access, specialized forensic tools that work with the iOS system, not against it.
You mentioned hardware limitations make physical extractions super tough. Can we dig into why? What actually stops someone plugging in and copying everything?
Yeah, it's fascinating because it's so deliberate on Apple's part. Unlike, say, some older Androids where you might find external test points like JTAG or even physically remove the chip.
Chip off, right.
Yeah, chip off. iOS devices are just incredibly integrated. There aren't easy solder points or ports for direct memory access. It's all sealed up.
Right, not like popping out a drive.
Definitely not.
Yeah.
Then you have that secure boot chain we talked about. like layers of security guards checking IDs on startup, it ensures only trusted, signed software loads. So trying to inject something malicious or modify the boot process, incredibly hard.
And the full disk encryption, how does the hardware make that so secure?
It's totally intertwined. The encryption keys aren't just software. They're tied directly to the device's unique hardware ID and the user's passcode.
Ah, okay.
So even if you could physically pull the storage chip out, which is already super difficult,
right,
the data is useless without that exact same phone hardware and the correct passcode. The key is essentially fused to the phone itself.
Wow. Locked inside.
Pretty much. And then data protection mechanisms work at the hardware level too. Sensitive data gets specific encryption based on its classification, again, often linked to the passcode and the hardware. It's very granular, very robust.
And what about the secure enclave? I hear that term thrown around. What does it do?
The secure enclave is like a separate high security processor within the main chip. Its only job is handling the most critical stuff, protecting cryptographic keys, processing fingerprint or face data for unlocking.
Ah, the biometric stuff.
Exactly. It's totally isolated from the main operating system. An extra vault inside the main vault, basically.
Man, it really is a digital fortress Apple's built. So with all the security, what are some common mistakes people make when trying to do iOS forensics? Seems easy to mess up.
That's a really critical point because, yeah, even with great tools, mistakes happen and they can seriously derail things. One of the absolute biggest, powering off an iOS device you just got access to.
Really? That feels counterintuitive. Wouldn't you want to save the battery?
You'd think so.
Yeah.
But powering it off shifts it from what we call after first unlock AFU mode to before first unlock or BFU mode.
Okay, AFU versus BFU.
Think of AFU like this. The phone's been unlocked with the passcode at least once since it was turned on. In this state, certain encryption keys are in memory and some forensic processes are, well, much more possible. It's more forensically friendly.
Okay, so BFU mode. Why is that so bad? What happens?
BFU is before that first unlock since power on. It's like the drawbridge is up and the gates are barred. Those crucial AFU encryption keys, wiped from RAM. Gone.
Oh, wow.
Trying to crack the passcode gets way, way slower. Biometrics like Face ID or Touch ID. Disabled. Those important lockdown records tools used to talk to the phone. Useless. Logical acquisition becomes impossible. You're stuck with very limited BFU extraction options. It's a huge setback.
Jeez. So just turning it off can lock you out of a ton of potential evidence. What's another common slip up?
Ejecting the SIM card, especially on devices running iOS 11 to 13. People might do it thinking they're isolating the device from the network.
Yeah, seems logical.
But it can immediately lock the phone. It can also disable biometrics until you enter the passcode and turn on USB restricted mode, which blocks connections to forensic tools. You could literally lock yourself out of your chance to analyze it.
Yikes. So handle the SIM card with extreme care, basically.
But Lou, know why you're doing it, if you do it at all.
Got it. Any other pitfalls?
Accidentally triggering Face ID or Touch ID sounds minor, but if you hold the phone wrong, point it at someone, brush the sensor, you start burning through those limited unlock attempts.
Right. You only get so many tries.
Exactly. Too many wrong attempts, and it locks down even further, adding delays or more complexity.
And I think I read somewhere, messing with the backup password is a really bad move.
Oh, that's a huge one. Yes. Sometimes an iTunes backup is key, right? And if it's password protected, you might think, I'll just reset the backup password. Big mistake.
Why? What does it break?
Because in Apple's world, things are interconnected. Resetting the backup password can actually trigger a reset of the main iPhone unlock passcode.
No way.
Yes. And the fallout is bad. You lose saved Wi-Fi passwords, Apple Pay history, downloaded Exchange mail, stuff tied to the backup. But critically, you also lose access to anything protected directly by the passcode, which includes a lot of end-to-end encrypted iCloud data. Think iCloud keychain, synced messages, health data, poof, gone.
Wow. So the lesson is, don't touch passwords unless you know exactly what downstream effects it'll have.
Precisely. Understand the ripple effects first.
Okay. You also mentioned that just doing a simple backup isn't always enough for a real forensic look.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Making a backup, whether with iTunes or a forensic tool mimicking it, is often step one, but it's not the whole story. For example, if you forget to turn off iTunes AutoSync before connecting the phone, the computer could start syncing and change data on the phone, overwriting potential evidence. Also, making a backup without a password might seem easier to analyze later, but it actually contains less data.
Really? Less data without a password.
Yeah. You miss out on critical stuff like the keychain contents, health data, Safari history, call logs, and more. The password unlocks access to protecting that extra layer of sensitive info within the backup itself.
So there's definitely more to it than just hitting backup now.
Way more. Proper logical acquisition digs deeper. It means pulling out media files with their metadata, timestamps, location data, crucial context. Accessing app shared data, which can hold gold from media players, office apps, even password managers sometimes. And grabbing crash logs, diagnostic logs, those can be amazing for timelines.
Mm-hmm.
And this stuff can provide vital clues whether there's a backup password or not. Plus, many of these techniques apply to other Apple gear too, like watches and Apple TVs.
This really drives home how complex this field is. And errors can happen in any forensic science, right? I know one of our sources touched on that generally.
Yes. The academic paper really stresses that. Errors aren't, you know, uncommon in forensic work, and it's vital to acknowledge that, especially now when forensic science overall is under more scrutiny about reliability and quality.
It's not perfect, even with all the tech.
Exactly right. Digital forensics is fundamental for law enforcement, so reliability and accuracy are paramount. Mistakes can have huge impacts on everyone involved. So the focus really needs to be on identifying, understanding, and mitigating errors all through the process.
So not pretending mistakes don't happen, but being hyper aware of where they might and trying to prevent them.
That's the core idea. The paper looks at defining errors, the terminology, and then maps out potential error sources against each stage of an investigation, from seizing the device to analyzing data to writing the report. The goal is to arm practitioners so they can tackle these potential issues better.
Okay, so faced with all these hurdles, the security, the potential mistakes, proggery, what are the key strategies? What tools do experts use to try and get through?
Well, number one, absolutely fundamental, as our blog source highlights, getting proper legal authorization. Consent, warrants, whatever is required.
Yeah.
That comes before anything else, always.
Right, the legal groundwork is non-negotiable.
Totally. After that, specialized forensic tools are essential. There are powerful suites out there. You might hear names like Celebrate UFA, Oxygen Forensic Detective, Grakey.
Okay.
These are built specifically for mobile devices, including iOS. They use advanced techniques, logical acquisition, trying for file system extraction where possible, sophisticated data parsing to decode all the info they find.
And with so much in the cloud now, iCloud forensics must be huge.
Increasingly critical, yes. Focusing on accessing iCloud data backups, sync info is a major strategy. That means using lawful methods, maybe getting credentials, or going through legal channels to request data from Apple. Cloud often holds a really comprehensive picture.
What about getting past those passcodes if you absolutely have to?
Well, there are techniques like brute force attacks or password cracking methods. They're sometimes used to try and bypass passcodes and get at encrypted data. But these have to be used incredibly carefully and always, always within strict legal and ethical bounds.
Right. Not a simple solution.
Not at all. They aren't guaranteed to work. They can take ages, and they risk locking the device completely or even triggering data wipes. High risk, high reward, needs careful consideration.
So handle with extreme caution and legality.
Exactly. And maybe the most important strategy overall, just staying updated. This field moves so fast. Keeping up with Apple's latest security changes, new forensic techniques, new tool capabilities.
Mm.
It requires constant learning, training, and talking with others in the field.
It sounds like a constant learning curve.
It really is.
So wrapping this up, iOS forensics sounds incredibly intricate. You're battling this super secure OS, tough encryption, limited access, plus all these potential mistakes that can make a hard job impossible.
That sums it up pretty well. Apple's security measures are great for user privacy, but they create massive obstacles for investigators. The layers of encryption, the restricted access, how small errors can have big consequences. It takes a really specialized skill set and a very careful step-by-step approach.
But it's not impossible. Evidence can be found.
Oh, definitely not impossible. Challenging, yes.
Yeah.
But valuable evidence can be extracted. It just takes the right legal basis, the right specialized tools, advanced techniques, and crucially, experts who really know the iOS ecosystem inside out and are super aware of those common pitfalls.
Okay, so here's maybe a final thought for you listening. Thinking about this constant evolution, this arms race between device security and forensic investigation, what does that mean for the future? As our phones get even more locked down for privacy, how do we as a society balance that right with the need for justice in a digital world?
Yeah, that's the big question. Is it a really complex balance to strike?
Definitely something to chew on. Thanks for taking this deep dive with us today.